What's up, everybody? It is Keith from the Stream Team. With me, as always, Chris Lowry and Cole Miller. And today, we're going back to 1981. Raiders
this
of the
Lost
Ark.
Chris' first time seeing this movie.
Yeah, the first time he's ever seen. Yeah. Wait, is it really?
Unironically, yeah, I haven't seen it. You're going to be mad.
What?
The only thing I've seen is, like, for some reason.
The Crystal Skulls or something.
There's, like, a random 40-minute chunk of Kingdom of the Crystal Skull that I saw on, like, FX one time. So outside of that.
You really had never seen this.
It's one of my blind spots. It's one of those random.
Holy shit.
Wow. Hell yeah, dude. Seen.
No way.
Well, you're welcome.
Well, I would love to hear. Not that I'm not going to ask you anyway, but I would love. I'm ready to hear your take now because, watching this for the first time, especially now, you know,
man, I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I want to watch all of them today. It was so good. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to watch it. I'm like, I don't want to mix them up.
Dude.
Tomorrow, I'm just going to watch the other ones.
That's amazing.
My favorite one is The Last Crusade. That's my hands down my favorite one. And they're all, and listen, coming from three, like I'm talking about the big three. I'm not talking about the other two that came out like the past few years. Of the big three, The Last Crusade is hands down my favorite. Like Connery, that's the third
one.
I like it.
This is my favorite though. This is the perfect movie.
No, and, yeah. I mean, they are neck and neck. Like it's a photo finish.
Between I like them both. For sure. Yeah.
And Temple of Doom, of course, is incredible. Like I like Ken Kwan in that one. He was really, really good. So that's a revolution. Like
that's
revelation.
Wild. Right there. Yeah.
That is incredible. Like of all a lot of people are like that with me when it comes to like I haven't seen any of the Lord of the Rings or any of the Harry Potter movies. And people are like, you know, as much as you love movies, and I'm like, yeah, I just really just wasn't interested in them. And I didn't want to I truly don't want to watch them and not like them and like be disrespectful towards them because I know that they're some wildly popular series and I just know it's not something I'll be interested in, so I'm just not gonna do it, you know?
Yeah.
But
yeah, I hear you.
Yeah,
that's,
man, like,
weird. This is like almost a Western too.
Right.
Like, I know.
It's got the vibes, right? Like it's 100%. Shit. That's awesome.
That's great.
I'm hyped. I'm jealous, dude.
That's some good
shit,
man.
This when I was young and couldn't appreciate it, right?
And now, same.
Each year we watched it, I, you know, got better and better and better. And now I'm just like, this is a fucking master. I can't even imagine seeing it through your eyes. That's great. Hell
yeah. That's and Cole, you actually took one of my talking points. Like these, I mean, this is 81. The Temple of Doom is 84. The Last Crusade is 89. So I wasn't born when this one came out. Temple of Doom, I was 2. The Last Crusade, I was 7. So, you know, I didn't watch these probably till I was in high school or maybe even out of high school at that point. And watching this with just a much greater appreciation just for movies in general and just honestly like true reverence for Harrison Ford. I just don't think that we in general talk, man, I know this is only the second movie we've had him in because he was in Blade Runner, of course, but like Harrison Ford, he's the dude, man. Like he is, there's
from about 1975 to 1995.
Yes.
It was like, he was A-list, top list.
He, and just like with whenever I was talking about Jason Bateman, I just stopped. Basically, I just put a handful of movies on here because I could just put his whole IMDb. I could just talk about that for 2 hours. You know what I mean? Like he had, so he had this 81, Temple in 84, Last Crusade 89, The Fugitive 93, Star Wars, of course, 77, Air Force One in 97, Blade Runner 82, Blade Runner 2049 in 2017. So, like, I mean, he's just rattling off. And I left out.
Tons of movies. You left out a lot of movies. And one thing that I found particularly cool about this is I actually, once watching this, I watched it earlier than normal. And it's kind of like what Chris was talking about, where it's like, I got to watch all the rest of these. I actually just was like, fuck it. I got to watch every Harrison Ford movie I can right now.
Right.
So I went through, they actually were showing The Fugitive down the road. So I went to see it in theater, which is cool. But one thing that I realized and that I hadn't noticed was Harrison Ford, like, was in 6 different films that were nominated for Best Picture. And this was back before there were 10. This was just 5. And he was in 6 films nominated for Best Picture. Like, that's wild, man. Like,
that's
over
wild.
A career, if you get 3, like, that's an impressive thing. And he was in 6. Like, that's wild, man.
He absolutely cooked in this movie. Well, so I'll go over the stats for this real quick, and then we can talk about just him in general, because I feel like we're going to talk about him for a while. Especially, Chris, I really want to hear your thoughts
Yeah,
on him
before we get
knowing
to
who he is
that,
now.
yeah,
Yeah.
I do want to ask Chris, like, if you hadn't seen Raiders, so I'm guessing that that wasn't really a part of your life. When you think of Harrison Ford, what do you think of?
It's weird because I still do. I think of this. Obviously, I'm a huge Blade Runner guy, so that might be the first thing that I think of. That's maybe my
Interesting.
favorite
Yeah. That
Ford
makes
work.
sense.
But no, I still do think of Indiana Jones. It's so weird because he's the character that Harrison Ford Jr. is so largely iconic that, like,
Large. Yeah.
how do so I had I'll loop I'll have to, like, talk about another movie to kind of explain the experience that I had there. So I watched Call Me by Your Name yesterday, right? And that was a huge,
Fuck.
super popular movie, right? But
Yeah.
it's weird because, like, it's so popular on Twitter, people just love that movie. So, like, I've seen the movie broken up 7 trillion fucking times. Like, every big, emotional, powerful scene from Timothée Chalamet, I've seen 1,000 times. So seeing it actually in the context of the movie felt weird, right? So Indiana Jones, having him live in my mind, having Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones live in my mind as this, like, mythical figure that I've technically never seen. Because it's not like it's in Star Wars, right? Where, like, I guess they have rebooted sort of kind of Indiana Jones movies, but I've heard that they suck, so I'm not going to watch them. So it's like,
Right.
it's not like when I watch the newer Star Wars movies with Harrison Ford first and had an idea of him as Han Solo, and then I went back and watched the old ones. Like, I had no real experience with Indy. So when I finally
Okay.
watched it
Or Han
today,
Solo, it sounds like.
I guess, well, I've definitely seen all the Star Wars movies. Like, I watched the older ones probably like 5 years ago. I went ahead and watched all of
That was
those.
the first time you saw him, though.
The older ones, yeah. I'd seen
Yeah.
the prequels and then.
Interesting. Yeah. So you didn't really grow up with Harrison Ford really at all then.
Not in those, like, there's certainly, like, some of his,
Yeah.
like, later movies or whatever I've seen
Sure.
a lot of, like, YouTube and stuff like that, but, like, his, the big two, the kind of, ones that springboard him to that, huge cultural icon thing, I just never watched those franchises. There's, like, also a weird period with, like, of course, before streaming, it was hard to watch. I mean, I know they kind of played on TV
Yeah.
all the time, but I was, like, younger and I was, like, I didn't
HBO.
know the order of
Yeah.
them. So it's just, like, so I just, I didn't have a way to watch them. I didn't want to go out and buy them because, like, what if I don't like these? And I was just younger. So when I'm actually watching it, though, and I'm actually seeing them, it feels like weirder, and he feels probably even larger and more mythical than he
Right.
already is.
Yeah.
He
No,
just
dude. Yeah.
He's like kind of like a unicorn. Like he's
Like, he's
untamable.
existing
Like
as this
you knew
crazy
him
god.
as. Like your experience with him was like a middle-aged man, like was in like the later part of his career. That's amazing.
Man,
That's fucking cool.
he was 40 when he did this, 39 when he did
Yeah.
this.
Yeah.
What?
Well, that's true. Yeah. He
But he was
was a
my age, and
carpenter
what the
for a
fuck?
long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like
So it,
Jesus. Yeah.
it's just it's weird, man. So it's like when I have these things happen, these things I hear about in conversation or just kind of see clips and stuff of, like, there are moments in here that are just, they're so iconic as a person who, watches a lot of movies or is just existing in this era. It's impossible to have not seen them. So to
Sure.
actually see them in the context of the movie, like,
Wow.
it felt
That's
fake. Like,
so
it felt like I
wild.
wasn't
That's
watching it. Like, the opening, I
incredible.
actually saw him do the switch and run from the giant ball. Like, I was like, have like an out of body experience, like actually seeing it in
Yeah.
context when the way that they
Right.
frame him, like he's this large mythical figure, like all throughout when he shows up to the bar, right? And it's just his shadow cast over
Yes.
Marion or whatever.
Yes.
That's how it feels for me seeing him every single time. Every
Yeah.
time he's on screen, that's what it feels like to me. Because, like, again, he's existed as this, like a folk tale, right? Like, he, because I haven't
Sure.
seen him, so he was more so like a folk
That's
tale. And
John
he's
Henry, man. I mean, he's
bigger.
Paul Bunyan right now.
Yeah, he kind of put that pussy on a pedestal.
He did,
Honestly,
100%.
yeah.
100%.
So yeah, I mean, it's crazy. It was like a crazy experience, like watching. Like, I've gone to weird way to do it, but, like, I've gone to Disney with Meyer before, and, like, we've gotten on the not the Han Solo on the Indiana Jones ride, and, like, I love it. I just love, like, the feel. I love that classic John Williams score, because, like, how could you not? And so
Sure.
again, like, I've been on that ride before today. Like, I spent more minutes on that ride than I had actually watching the
So
movie.
you had
But I.
seen someone pretending to be rolled over by a boulder more than
Yeah,
you'd actually
before.
seen it. Yeah,
I've been
that's cool.
chased by the boulder more than times than I've seen the boulder, technically.
No
You know,
shit.
I
Wow.
lived a day in this
That's
life before
crazy.
I actually saw this.
This
So
is
when I actually
wild. I
watched
love
it,
this, man.
it's
Yeah.
awesome. I love this movie so much. Again, the only thing that
Yeah.
stopped me from going ahead and watching the other ones is because, like, I don't want to get them confused, like watching them
Yeah.
all right on top of each other. I was like, I'm like, yeah, man. When Connery showed up in the first, that was fucking nuts. He was like, what'd you say? What'd you just say?
Right. Yeah. Seriously.
Excuse me? Yeah. I'm not there yet.
Describe her. Yeah. They feel like a bag of sand.
She was smart.
Yeah. She looks really smart. Well, and that's all I was actually going to bring that up too, because I'd actually forgotten just how many iconic scenes are just in this one alone. Like,
man, all
of them. Yeah. Everything. Yes. Yeah.
The snake line. I thought that was like in the second or third movie. It's like,
no, man.
Snake.
Nope.
And then, like, 40 minutes in, he's like, why'd it have to be snake? You're like,
he did the thing.
I mean, I guess
he did the thing.
Yeah, no, I was like, he said the thing. Yeah, it's crazy how.
So much that this movie does, and I see why we got four more of them. Truly, like, even though the last two weren't great, legitimately, like, so much happened in this movie.
Man, I didn't hate this last one. It was all right. It was fun.
Yeah,
I had fun.
Yeah,
what's that?
Can I get a crazy thought off real quick that I just thought about when I was watching this?
Absolutely.
Back in the old days when we used to make movies for real, we used to put Nazis in airplane propellers. If you did that now, a billion dickheads would call you like anti-white and stuff like that. Like, watching this and like it's the reverence for like awful people, like especially the Nazis, I'm like, wow. If you did that today, they'd be like, they made Indiana Jones woke. He killed a Nazi.
Woke Indiana Jones.
Right, yeah.
Believe it or not, there was a time where everybody disliked Nazis.
Right? They're like, so watching this, like, it's not framed as anything. Like,
no, it was like, the perfect bad guy of the era, right? Because it was just like, it didn't matter what you fucking did to him. Everybody thought it was justified.
Right.
It was so weird. Like, there was no, like,
they melted their faces at the end, dude, and struck them all with lightning. Like, and nobody was awesome. Like,
everybody's like, cool.
Nobody was like, that's too far.
That took too long.
Like, can we bring some more guys in here and do it again? Let's make some other guys look at it just to see if it happens to them too. It's crazy. That's another thing that really stood out to me. It's like you said, Cole, it was at the perfect time where just everybody wanted these guys dead anyway. So it was like you didn't have to do any additional lifting. You didn't have to like vilify them. You know what I mean? Like even when we get Nazis,
we
and
knew
stuff like that,
we knew they were bad. Like,
they'll put like a character who's like a Nazi and they'll have to like, and he's also mean to his wife to make sure people hate him. But back then it's just like
no, he's just a fucking Nazi.
Killed him with a fucking airplane propeller and you stood up in the theater. Yeah. So it's just
cool.
That's another thing. Yeah. Sorry to drag that on, but that
shit. Yeah. That's crazy. I wasn't expecting this. That's interesting, man. That man hasn't seen it until today.
I think I took for granted that's something that you would have, this is something you would have seen. Just from a historical standpoint, I feel like this is something that's kind of right in your wheelhouse with a lot that's going on with this, especially as the original
Blade Runner,
trilogy
likes
goes on.
Westerns.
Yeah, like
Cinephile,
a lot of this.
Like, yeah, that's wild.
And I can't explain why I haven't seen it. Again, like outside
just
of
haven't
just
seen it, yeah.
Being as accessible. But since streams come, like, you know, they've been on Disney Plus since day one, so I've had that for, what, 4 or 5 years, and I've just never watched one. It's like, it's not that I have any distaste for them, like, I never wanted to. It was one of those things I just never got around to, because I did always want to watch them all together. So it's just like, I need to have the...
Seems like a daunting task.
They're not that long, though, are they? This one, also, it's crazy that this is a fire action movie under 2 hours. You could never make this. I know we hate saying you couldn't make that today. You could
no.
Make
this this wouldn't. No, this would be 240. Yeah, if this came out. If this same idea came out, like let's just say this didn't exist and it came out, it'd be 245.
Dude, easily. A Disney executive would hang your family over a fire if you showed up with this movie at 155 minutes. They're like, sorry, buddy, we need you to tack on 50 more minutes and maybe you can let something happen. And again, I love long movies. It blew my mind how short this was relative to, you know, how long movies. And again, we love the movies long. If this was made to be a little bit longer, it's so fun and it's so cool and stylish, I would enjoy it. But I thought Paramount was tripping when I clicked on it, said 1 hour 55. I was like, this isn't right.
Yeah,
I'm
this
like,
must this be the director.
Nah,
right? Is this the DVD commentary?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's legitimate.
No, man, Spielberg did his thing, and he even said, like...
Ain't no long movies in 76.
Ain't no long movies in 81. I'm headed to legitimate.
81, like that's right, yeah. Always
he said this was his... This is his... He said this is a perfect movie. He said he didn't want to take anything out of it. And I'm going to tell you, man...
It is
that
a
guy
perfect
knows,
movie.
He knows what he's talking about. Like, I just upon this, like, a second time I rewatched it, I was marveling at just some of the technical stuff, like the shots, Chris, like you're talking about, the use of shadows, the use of light, the use of dark in this, and just some of the shots they got, like on the truck. I mean, just the action pieces, because like this is 81, so I'm like, man, somebody actually fell off this truck into, like, you know, like those guys went off the cliff in my mind, you know, like there was no green screen to me, like those guys actually just went off the cliff. It's like, hey, we want you to be in this movie, but we're going to kill all three of you. You're going to drive off a cliff. And they're like, okay, Mr. Spielberg. You know what I mean? Like, there's
you
just
got
so many
it.
things. Yeah, seriously. So just a lot of great stuff happening. But again, I'll go through the stats real quick. So this is 81. This movie was rated PG.
Yeah, it
Came out
sure
of,
was.
yeah,
PG-13?
not even 13. PG,
Dude, what if
buddy.
50
50
didn't say
people
fuck?
die in this? He
Yeah.
shot
But they're
a man.
Nazis, Chris. They're Nazis.
There was like 10 headshots in this, and people had their faces melt, literally melted off.
People get
PG.
impaled by spikes 5 minutes into this. That's crazy
Yeah.
that this PG
It
out
is
of all
wild.
the
Yeah.
PGs.
PG's wild.
Yeah, they killed the
They're
fuck out of Alfred Molina, dude.
a
Like, he
lot of
got killed.
the early Bond movies were PG or like PG too. It's just
What?
like that's crazy. There's titties
Yeah,
in this,
seriously.
man.
Chris, did you recognize Doc Ock at the beginning, Alfred Molina?
I
Oh
did
yeah.
recognize Alfred, and then he started talking, and I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Yeah.
When I heard
Hey.
that accent, it took me out for a second, dude. This was
That's his first
his
movie.
first credit. Yeah, this is his first credit. So he had to do whatever it takes, man. He's like, listen, you want me to do a, I'm head to toe legitimate. Ain't no accents in 81. I'm head to toe legitimate.
But are we
But
cool?
not really. No, senor, is what they said, whenever he was doing his accent. Like, no way. But it was directed by Spielberg and directed that we may know a little bit about. Like you talked about, an hour 55 runtime. And it's, dude, and
Crazy.
it
It's brisk.
legitimately just like sprints by, dude. It's crazy. And I don't know if I'm just used to longer movies by now. But like you said, Chris, an hour 55 with this kind of content to just, because this is the first one, like this is laying the groundwork for Indiana Jones, and we get everything we need to know in an hour 55 minutes. It's crazy. Rotten Tomato score 93 to 96. I mean, it's a banger.
Get that 93 up. Sorry, that 93 feels
Seriously,
too
though,
low to me. This should be
Spielberg made this
95
movie.
at worst.
Yeah. Oh, at the absolute worst, Spielberg made this movie for $18 million. This movie did $390 million worldwide in 1981. That's $10 billion today. Like, don't even, yeah. I don't even, Cole, don't even like try to look it up with that. That's $10 billion in my mind.
How much money was it? I
It
missed
made
that part.
389 million in 81
1981.
worldwide.
Yeah. That's a lot.
We're
Fuck.
buying two countries after that.
What was the
Yeah.
budget?
18.
Okay. Yeah.
That's also crazy.
Fuck. That's a
Again,
lot of
it's
money.
almost like we realize like $18 million is a lot of money, but like we see stuff today with like $18 million, even adjusted for inflation, they're like, we can only get one car. And this one, it's like, yeah, man, for $18 million, I can melt 10 people's faces with the effects, and we can fucking build an entire ton of like tombs and stuff, and also have $11 million to play with to,
To do
fuck
whatever, to
around and buy
maybe
John
pay, yeah.
Williams some new instruments.
To
I'm
pay our
seeing close
stuntman.
to
$2 billion. Yeah,
What?
obviously that's not a accurate number, but yeah,
I mean,
that's
those
not really,
tickets.
yeah.
Sounds about
Tickets in
right.
1981 were what, like 75
Seven
cents?
dollars.
They
Yeah.
just let you in.
Yeah, no
Yeah,
shit. Like, yeah.
you guys want to see
How
this
many?
movie?
That's the real question. How many tickets was that? Yeah.
Oh, dude, it's all of them. Like, that's
Damn
every
well,
ticket.
I saw it. Yeah,
Yeah, seriously. So if 300 million.
we ran out of paper in 81.
I
That's
tried not to
whenever.
look up a ton of the stats on this because I just want to like you guys tell me so I can give my reactions live. So knowing that this was made for $18 million
$18 million.
makes no. He shot this shit in his backyard, basically. What? It was a home video practically for $18 million.
Seriously.
Yeah, my buddy
It's like,
Kevin came around.
yeah. He's like, hey man, you still got that camcorder in your mom's basement? Can you bring that out real quick? I'm gonna shoot this movie. They shot this in Arizona. That was it. It wasn't even didn't even go abroad. Just did the thing there.
Yeah.
The
But
cast,
yeah, if it was $2 a ticket, that's 150 million tickets. So
that's, yeah.
yeah, that's a lot.
That's not bad.
Not
1981.
bad
I'm
for nine
sure
seats.
you can look up, you know, just average ticket prices in 81. And I'm sure you're not far off from that $2 price either. So
Yeah.
that's, yeah, just a ton of tickets that we're selling. But obviously the cast consists of really it's Harrison Ford, Karen Allen, Paul Freeman as Belloc. We have different people throughout the course of the movie. Denham Elliott as Brody. We have John Reese Rye Davis as Sala, who was my favorite person this entire movie. Sala was incredible. He saved the day 100 times, man. He was great. But Chris, I know you talked about Harrison Ford, and we talked about some of the credits that he had, just some, because again, I would be here all night for just listening to things. But again, I know you kind of talk about it, so I'll throw this to Cole really. But Cole, you know, talking about Harrison Ford and just the guy that we know him to be now, like seeing him in this role and just kind of going back to his, I don't want to say origin story, because I mean, he was Han Solo 5-6 years earlier, but seeing him in this and seeing the beginning of what would be Indiana Jones, how awesome is it to go back and just really just relive a classic? Like, I watched this and I'm instantly taken back to the first time I watch this every time.
Yeah, easily, right? And it's interesting because it sounds like your experience with this movie is pretty similar to mine, Keith. Like, I saw it when I was pretty young with, you know, some family members, some cousins that they're older than me, and they kind of introduced me to this movie, and it was like, you know, half of the movie was us just pretending to be Indiana Jones, right? Like, running around the house, like, fighting each other and that sort of thing. And yeah, even to this day, like whenever I fire it up, it still has that same feeling. Like it transports you back to, you know, just being a kid and seeing this film. And I think what makes it so amazing is like it can do that, like for a kid to see it and be blown away by it. And then Chris to see it today for the first time and basically say it's a perfect film. Deal. Like just imagine like how long was that? That's 20 years apart. If at least, and that's incredible, right? Like it is quite special that something like that can happen. And on the Harrison Ford bit, I mean, you're right. Like we know, you know, what his career's looked like since then. And at one point, like one of the few early on, I mean, kind of closer to the Steve McQueen model where he was just a movie star. He was never this like, you know, he's been nominated for an Oscar, but like he's never won one. He hasn't had multiple nominations. Like he just very much was this charming, good looking dude that kind of almost invented the franchise model, right? Like he is kind of the first person to be in multiple different franchises. Like he did, you know, Star Wars, Indiana Jones. That's a pretty good CV, right? So there is that interesting unit or that interesting idea to him that he was kind of this character that is Indiana Jones, but like people can think about him and think about him as very different people, right? And I don't know that there are a lot of actors like that. Like if you think of Robert Downey Jr., you think of Iron Man, even if you've seen his other work. But like, you know, Chris thought of a middle-aged type Harrison Ford, not a Star Wars, not an Indiana Jones. And that's pretty impressive, man. That like shows you what his staying power is like and just how much of a just fucking movie star he was.
He was legitimately that a movie star. There's nothing like, I don't even know that there's
to carry a movie, right?
Right. Yeah. That there's a comparison with him. And I was thinking maybe Robert Redford or somebody else would kind of be in his same category, but you know, like
there it's not the same though.
Yeah, it's not. It's really not. Like, 'cause I'm saying it's like, there's no real apples to apples comparison to him because he does a lot of different things that he's not the Bond type. Right. And it, you know, for all intents and purposes, this could be compared to that, but he's not like the ladies' man. I mean, this is a history buff who is a professor. He's a professor who also preserves and revels. Like he respects the artifacts that he's going to find. Like he wants them put in museums, right? He's not like, I'm going to collect these and have them in my basement or whatever. He wants them where they need to be properly displayed or protected, you know? So, and I think that's why his character is so important. And that's why whenever it comes to him finding the Ark or being in the Temple of Doom, like he respects these artifacts, unlike the people like of course, in this one, the Nazis trying to get it for their nefarious use. And that's why they end up getting electrocuted and get their faces melt off at the end because they knew about the right. Like they knew about the Ark, but they didn't know how powerful it was. And that's all they thought about it. They didn't know that, like, what could it do to us if we open this thing? And he knew about that. He knew how much power it had. I mean, right at the beginning, whenever Brody brought the guys from the government who hired him to go find it, and he was talking about the city of Tanis, and they didn't know anything about that. He's talking about the Ten Commandments and all this other stuff, and they were like, you know, sounds like we've got the right guy. So it's a person who really respects the art and makes sure that it's in the right place, man. But just Ford in general is just like, and it's weird too because from even just like from a moviegoer standpoint, I don't own any Harrison Ford movies, you know, but like I see this and I'm like, man, like Cole, like you're saying, he is a movie star. Like if he walked into any building I was in right now, I would be stopped dead in my tracks. You know, like there was no,
Absolutely. Yep.
it'd be like, you know, that it'd be like a centaur walking into the building or something. I'd be like, there's
Right.
no way he just walked in here. So
Be like, Centaur, get out of the way. Harrison Ford's here.
yeah, Harrison Ford's here. Watch out, dude. Like, what are you doing here? Bigfoot, you see Harrison
Get your big
Ford out
ass feet out.
there? Yeah. So this is 80, 81 again. Temple of Doom is 84, Last Crusade is 89, and they're all just incredible movies. And man, Chris, I'm not gonna say, like, you kind of knocked me off my feet with
No,
that
look, man, pick
knowledge,
on me
like
all you
that
want.
information at the
There's a
beginning.
lot I can say about
I
that.
am shook. That's some quality, but that's awesome though too, because then I'd love to see, you know, like first time movies, like I introduce you guys to Bad Words, something like that. And it's funny and it's cool to see, but like I'm all like, man, this is something y'all have got to see.
Yeah,
Like,
it's
I
not
wonder
this.
if it's not Raiders of the Lost Ark. So for you to watch this for the first time, and then I mean, legitimately, it's almost like going back and watching Bird and Magic play or Jordan and play the Pistons, like back in like the early 90s, stuff like that. We're just like, damn, these guys could ball. You know, like, is that kind of the feeling you got watching him in this?
I did, yeah. It like really just blew my mind that I think Cole, you kind of covered. He's like he was one of the first franchise stars or whatever. It's like, and obviously, I've seen some of the other ones. So to know that the charm that he has and like all those other movies, like that coolness factor, that suaveness, that like that thing about him, it's like the driving force of his. And there's other cool stuff his character that I learned in this, but it's like it's just the driving thing in this. You know, like the movie is well done. And there's other great supporting characters, and the adventure is fun. Like the biggest thing is just like when Indiana Jones is on screen, he's just like the coolest looking motherfucker, the coolest guy you've ever
Of all
seen.
time.
So like actually seeing it did kind of blow my mind. Like, you know, you could see Jordan when he was, you know, maybe later in the Bulls run, or maybe after he comes back or something like that, and still see that he's fantastic, still see that he's really, you know, if somebody were to just start watching LeBron the last like 5 years or something, they could still see that he's really good, right? But then if they go back and watch Pete LeBron or something like that, like when he
Jesus.
went back to Cleveland, they'd be like, what the fuck? He was even better.
Damn. Yeah.
More stuff. He was allowed to do more stuff.
Wait, he
So
did
check
not get tired? Yeah.
seriously.
He just
But
did that all the time?
all the time.
they made that
82.
load management shit up. That's not real.
Yes. Seriously.
So like
82
that's what
plus
it felt like
games.
here. It felt crazy to just kind of watch him and be like, just that. And it's just weird because like he's never like the charisma in this. Like obviously it plays different ways in different movies, but it's just like he has lost it. Even when you see him in OSF, even you know Blade Runner 2049 is I guess the best example. It's one of like the few things he's done. Like he's still just this guy. Like he just kind of plays it differently, and that really does blow me away to the point that like it does. Sad is maybe the wrong word. I did kind of get sad when you guys were talking about like your first time to watch it because, like, I'm kind of jealous of, like, when I watch this, I won't because I'm going to watch this again probably two more times before the year is over because it's just awesome. Like, I'm going to be sad that, like, I won't be able to watch it and be transported back to, like, my childhood home. I'm going to be like, oh, that
You're
time I was
just by
27
yourself
in my
watching on
room.
an
Stop, fuck, no, whoa, you know I'm better than that. I was like,
Yeah.
27 in my room at work one day, and I watched it. It's like, fuck, that's not as cool as like my cousin's son. That's such a dick. I can't
Yeah,
tell anybody
seriously.
about
I was in Cairo. I'm just
Yeah.
kidding. Like,
He went to an
somebody
Alamo
asked me
draft
about
house in Tanzania to watch this. It was incredible.
that.
He was a projectionist that day, too. He was bored.
Yeah. Had to bring him with me.
He's like, damn, I got all
Spielberg.
this fucking charisma. I don't know what to do with it. I'll roll this
Yeah, it was at
camera with me.
Charisma's house.
Well, what's odd about this movie? Not odd, but like this is a movie. Like this is something like I watch with my family. You know what I mean? Like I said again, with
Yeah,
it
I
being
know what I'm jealous, man.
like this is legit. Like this is a blockbuster Friday night type situation where we get like in Indiana Jones, we fire this up, and it's like awesome. You know, and there's not, like you said, Cole, there's not a bunch of language. Like the violence is there, and it's weird because it's not gratuitous. Even though we saw somebody get like
It's
chopped
not
in a
blood and
propeller blade, you know, like we didn't actually see it. Now that would be, we would see the full thing, which is fine. I mean, listen, like I'm not acting like a prude because there's times when I'm like, yeah, chop that fucker up, man. Like let's see that, you know. But This is just a case
chop where that fucker up.
We knew what the deal was. Like, we saw it. Okay, cool. He's chopped up in the propeller blade. We got the blood splatter. Let's keep it pushing, you know? And that was what we got. So this is an extraordinary piece of movie making. And again, I legitimately forgot like how many of the iconic scenes were in just this one in particular. I mean, even just starting with the theme song, like, it's up there with the Bond theme as far as like the theme song.
Oh,
like,
when it, absolutely. When it's like, one of the most memorable, like, so, yeah, I mean, like, you immediately know, like, even Chris, like, he knows what the Raiders March was.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, if we were playing, like, you know, there were some trivia games that would come out, like board games, or there'd be, you know, some like CDs, whatever, they would have the theme songs to TV shows and a theme song of Fired Up, and I'm like, oh, that's Family Matters. Oh, that's The Cosby Show. Oh, that's,
yeah,
that's whatever, like Step by Step. That would be what, if there was some kind of game or whatever that had all the theme songs from like the major movies, as soon as this came on, people know that exactly it's Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Like, there's
no one would miss it. Yeah.
Literally. Nobody would miss it.
100%.
Like, this movie is, it crosses lines. Like, there's all cultures. Like, I know everybody knows Indiana Jones to some degree. But yeah, the theme song, we had the sand, him switching the artifact with the bag of sand, like that particular scene, out running the boulder.
It felt so weird actually watching it in a movie and not seeing like a montage of like, you know, just like these things, like they're appreciating cinema, or people like, here are some like the greatest moments of the movie, to actually watch like what happens before and what happens after, like in full context. It's dumb to say, the whole time I was watching, it felt like I was like in a dream or something. You know what I mean? Like, I know it's a weird way to describe Indiana Jones, but like actually seeing these things that, again, have felt so mythological for so long that it's just like, obviously, I'm not going to say I feel like I would never see him because all I had to do was turn on Disney Plus or Paramount Plus and just like type him in. But to actually be like, all right, I'm going to watch this today and see all this stuff, and it didn't like end with the thing, ask if it wants me to replay the video. Like, it just went on for an hour.
It was the scene.
It blew my mind, dude. Like, if I'm going to be thinking for like 2 days, I'm like, I didn't even really watch it. Like, that wasn't a real thing that happened to me. Like, it just, it's crazy.
No, that's awesome. That's so cool to hear, man. I had no
idea. I can't even say, why did y'all tell me Indiana Jones was so good? Because everyone, I can't even do that. I can't even do it.
Motherfucker. Yeah.
Movie's so good. Why don't you tell me how good the movie was? I can't even do that.
You could have legitimately said anything to me at the beginning of this pod, and I would believe that over you saying that.
Yeah.
Could have said anything. I'd have been like, oh, that's cool. But this is legitimately like a giant piece of news to me right now. It's crazy. But just more iconic, the snakes. Why they have to be snakes, the faces melting, the sound of the punches, that's something that was very indigenous to the Indiana Jones movies, how those that particular sound is with the punches. And something that I really enjoy was the plane rides, and then having like that red line going from where they are to where they're going.
Yeah.
I love that, man. Like, that was just something again, just an iconic piece of filmmaking that just transcends generations, and people just will. This is a movie I feel like, if there was like a time capsule buried in somebody's granddad's backyard, like, this would be in there, you know, like one of the Indiana Jones movies would be in it. It'd be incredible too. Like, Chris, we talk about the technical aspects of it, because we just love the movie making process. Were you impressed by this being a 1981 movie, just how good it looked and how believable it felt?
I was, like, not even just some like the stunt, but like you just said, how good it looks in general, you know what I mean? Like, they're, you know, the cameras and the technology and the stuff that we have, you know, the CGI is crazy these days. Like, all the stuff that we have now, is like, it's insane, right? And there are movies that are going to come out later this year, and that just won't look this good, right? They won't be colored.
Take a hike, buddy. Is it twice as good as Ocean's 11?
Like, they won't be framed as well. They won't be blocked. Like, they won't have cinematography that's as like interesting as this. It really did blow me away. What they're doing, obviously, because you have Spielberg, and he just knows his way around the camera. He knows how to make anything work, right? But it did kind of trip me up. Like, I had to really like sit back and be like, maybe 1981 wasn't as long ago as, like, obviously it's what, 40 plus years ago, but it's like, but maybe 42, not
43 as, years,
right? And it made me think, I was like, that's not a long time. Maybe it's not a long time, and it's like, and it isn't. But it's also those, like, it's a considerable amount of time to think about how far film has kind of progressed, and technology and all that has come along, and the way movies are made in general. But again, this just looks so good and it all stands
Incredible.
up so well that I'm like, they shot this shit yesterday. What do you mean? Like, you mean 2001, dickhead?
Right.
No, not 2001.
Yeah, take a hike, pal. Yeah, somebody looking at this, and somebody was like, "This movie was made in 1981." I was like, "There's no way." Like,
You're
I've
lying.
seen
There's not even
movies.
a lie.
Yeah, I've seen movies made in 2011 that look like complete garbage, and you're telling me this is made in 81 and it looks this good?
Right.
Like, Steven Spielberg probably had four cameras and just like some aluminum foil, and he was like, "Let's just make this shit happen, guys." Like, I don't know what you want me to
Yeah.
do. Like, to make the punch, the sound of punches, they the their props guy, their sound guy was hitting a leather,
They had
like
a
leather
key grip
jackets with a
punching
bat.
people. Oh,
Yeah,
sorry.
yeah, exactly. Like, that's what he was doing, man. This is the kind of stuff that just, and we talked about the practicality when it comes to making movies a variety of times, and it hits every single time, because those are the movies that have the staying power for the most part. Like, some stuff is just forgettable because it's so CGI. We're just like kind of rolling our eyes at it. With this, all of it looked good, man. Like, and knowing what the prop team had to do to make some of this stuff happen makes it even better to me. Cole, we'll talk about some of the practical effects in this. Like, Alfred Molina was actually covered in live tarantulas during that opening scene. Or like Harrison Ford had to outrun that boulder literally 10 times to get that shot. And the one take that they kept where he stumbled was an actual real stumble, and still Spielberg was like, "That looks believable. Let's leave it in there." You know, so even though it wasn't, of course, not
Leave
an
it in.
actual, or like, still him outrunning it was a thing. It wasn't like just running on this green screen. So just talk about like the practicality and the camera work in this too, and just how it makes a movie like this have even more staying power.
Sure. I mean, that's the thing about it. It's like they just didn't have they didn't have a choice, right? They
Yep.
wanted to make this movie and they wanted it to be the way they wanted it to be. They had to invent all this stuff. And like
Yep.
Steven Spielberg is kind of, and honestly, it's the dream team, right? George Lucas was
Yes. Yeah.
one of the most creative minds and he produced this. And then you've got Steven Spielberg, who, is the probably, I mean, like, I think 5, maybe 6 decades in a row, he's had a movie nominated for Best Picture. Like, that's
Yeah.
no one's ever done that before, right? Like, he's just the guy. And so you've got these two that were in an era of where you just had to figure it out. And if you wanted, they were not going to not make great movies. And so basically, like you said, Keith, it's like, okay, well, how do we, make this boulder sequence look good? We shoot it 10 times. Right. And then we can
Yep.
cut and then we can make it, do it old fashioned and have 5 or 6 different camera angles on it. And like you said, I mean, how many cameras were on set, right? 4, 10,
Yeah,
like
legitimately
somewhere
though.
in there. It wasn't like this fucking modern society. I mean, this modern filmmaking world that we live in where you can have 30 on set.
Yep.
And so like you're able to, you sometimes creativity is going to make you make better movies because you have to figure things out. And I think that that's one of the things that VFX and that sort of stuff is, kind of, I don't want to say ruined movies because that's not the right way to put it, but like some of the stuff that you wanted to do in a movie, you just couldn't do. So you had to figure out how to make it work if you
How to
wanted
make
to
it
do
work.
it. And some genius came from that. And you can tell this movie is that, right? Because there are so many things like the map. How else were they going to show them travel? Like they can't necessarily find 7 different shots in, Baghdad and Cairo and all these different places.
Yeah.
They just made a map and made it look good. And like one of the coolest scenes of the movie, like you said, Keith, it's like you're
Awesome.
traveling without watching an airplane travel. And there's that sort of stuff that some of the best things that come out of movies are the things that you just have to figure out how to pull off. And obviously, Spielberg is a he's the as good as it gets. He's a goat when it comes to that sort of stuff.
100%. And it's just, I mean, it's just a sign of the time. Technology is a gift and a curse, right? Like, smartphones have made some of the dumbest people of all time. Like, we don't know anybody's number anymore. We don't know, people don't know directions anymore. And I'm going to sound like an old fogey. It's like, what if your phone was off and you had to drive to
What
Memphis, whatever? Like, people, don't, as
if
far
you
as
were
directions
1963?
go, yeah, like, you got to know how to read a map. And I don't think people
I do.
necessarily need to do that, but people need to have, some sort of sense of direction, or not be able to rely on a smartphone all the time. It's like, hey, just go to, like, let's go to Tupelo real quick. Do you know which way you need to go on Highway 6? No? Okay, cool. Well, then you're just an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, that's how I feel. So it's just kind of where we are when it comes to like being able to lean on CGI and just have a $400 million movie. Right, where we're just like, okay, well, it's $400 million because this VFX house had to, put in this the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man or whatever not shitting on Ghostbusters by any means, but you know what I mean? Like having to put in that particular effect. Yeah, you
better effect. Pump your
brakes, kid. Yeah, you better cross the lines.
That makes me think about
something. You know, that's a real story? A lady lost her s'mores.
Something to lose. That would be the worst thing. Losing your s'mores.
That would be the worst. That is the worst. Y'all ever make a s'more and then go to bite into it and like all the inertia shoot out? That's the worst, man.
Dude, I dropped it like a stick one time, or the marshmallow just fell off. I had a perfect before I could get it on. It just fell. I was just done for the day. I was over. I was like, I'm gonna eat just graham crackers. So I'm not gonna do this shit again.
Smoke a ball and go to sleep.
Yeah, seriously.
Get in my fucking sleeping bag.
Yeah, screw that. You just put a can of SpaghettiOs on the fire and just ate that out of the can. You didn't even put them on the fire, just ate them out of the can.
Just raw dogged them.
Beans. That was Jesse James.
Absolutely. But yeah, technology has been obviously it's a gift and a curse. And so just seeing these guys make movies with little to nothing, like I said, $18 million, dude, that's a penny. That's nothing.
That's free. He made this for free.
Seriously, and I forget the director who spoke at the Oscars, and I know I sent you guys a meme about it, but he's like, instead of making one $200 million movie, let's make 10, $20 million movies, you know? And so that's this, right? Like, I know it's 81, but still, this was $18 million. That's it. You know, like, let's make some magic, man. Let's make some stuff happen. And that's what, obviously, having two of the greatest directors of all time doing that is going to help. However, they just made shit happen and made one of the greatest movies of all time. So, you know, and it's a simple premise too. It's an archaeologist who in his spare time is going to find rare artifacts and protecting them. Like, that's it. He's trying to keep dangerous things out of bad people's hands, you know? And so this guy's, you know, Indiana Jones, he's an archaeologist by day and he's Indiana Jones by night. And it's a really cool look at somebody because it's simple. It's not a James Bond thing. It's not like a secret super spy, but it's somebody who respects.
He's kind of just some dude.
But really, though, I mean, there's a lot of history buffs, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I like history. You're not going to see me fighting out for Melina.
You can probably take him. I was saying that blew my mind. Like, I knew that he was a professor, but I didn't know that the artifacts that he was going to get that he was just donating to the museum. Like, I thought he was like a personal treasure collector, or he was getting them and he was selling them or whatever or something like that. So I didn't know that he was just in it for the love of the game. Like, I thought he was getting something else out of it.
That's it.
Yeah, he just likes ball.
Just the love of the game. Just like the hoop, man. Bro didn't even have a net on his goal. He was just out there shooting, man. That's it. Yeah. Like, didn't even need a net.
Didn't even care.
He just sit at the park for hours waiting for someone else to show up. He's like, yo,
that's it.
Man had the same leather jacket for 45 years.
That's it. Yeah, he did, man, and that's what's great. And this is arguably one of the strongest leads any movie has had. We had to have somebody, the female lead, the female co-star, to be just as strong. And Karen Allen absolutely crushes Marianne Cole. We'll talk about this. When we have a movie with a strong lead, we're going to need a strong female lead, and she did it, didn't she?
She did, and she was kind of a badass character. Like,
she was a badass character.
There were like the typical of the era stuff, like putting her in a dress and making her do that sort of stuff.
The damsel in distress stuff. Yeah.
She was still like a badass. She shot all those motherfuckers with the gun. She outdrank, 15 people. Like, she was a badass, dude. And very cool to do that as a character, especially in 1981, right? Like, that just wasn't something you really did. And she was badass. And like you said, I think, for him to be like, it is Harrison Ford, right? So even though he is kind of just a normal dude in this movie, he's Harrison Ford. Like, he's a movie star. You know that. Mm-hmm. Ever since he's come on the screen in the first fucking time, you're like, wow, this dude is just electric. But you also have to have somebody that doesn't just get completely washed by him, and a character that you also would believe that he would be interested in, right? Because Harrison Ford is not going to just be into just some random other, like another professor or something like that. Like,
right,
Indiana Jones, he is going to be like, he's going to need somebody like her, right? So I think it was perfect, just like everything else in this movie.
Legitimately though, that I don't know that I see any flaws in this truly from any aspect, like the runtime, the technical effects, the acting. Everybody was great. Even the bad guys are really good in this, and we'll talk
Yeah, they
about
were
them.
awesome.
But like the introduction of Marion into this, and obviously, you know, her father being Abner Ravenwood, somebody that Indiana Jones trained under, and just her, like that opening scene of her taking shots at the bar, right? Going shot for shot with those guys. And like you said, Cole, she's out drinking everybody. That's not, I mean, 1981, I think that's a big deal. That's like her, you know, like starting out with her introducing her like in a boxing ring, and she's beating up a bunch of dudes or something, like doing MMA and like knocking everybody out. I think that's kind of comparable to something like that. So for us to open with to meet her like that and to understand, okay, this is, she's tough, like she's somebody to be forced to be reckoned with herself. And that's again, Cole, like you're talking about, that's somebody we need if we're going to believe that, like, okay, she's going to be helping Indiana. And also, you know, clearly they had their past. She was a love interest and somebody who was clearly still into him as well. I just thought she was really great. Chris, how'd you feel about Marion, Karen Allen as Marion in this?
She was awesome. You guys kind of hit the nail on the head. Like, that's the exact character that you need to kind of match someone like this. Because I think when I'm watching this, I'm like, boy, if you have anybody who doesn't sell this as well as Harrison Ford, there's still some cool stuff in this, but this movie just doesn't work. And then as time kind of went on, I saw him interacting with some of the other people in the movie who are still good. I'm like, oh, this also doesn't work if you don't have like a strong supporting character alongside him. Like, if you know, because
Yeah.
we see happens sometimes where you put these super charismatic, enigmatic figures against other supporting characters and they just like wash all over it. Kind of like the movie, you know what I mean? Like the movie feels so weird. It feels like it's not
Yeah.
really about anything but that one person at some point. And so to bring her on and she's able to have like a bunch of cool, like they let her, like you said, she's in the airplane that's spinning around and she was like minigun mows down some guy. In any other movie, like Harrison Ford jumps in there, does the minigun thing, and then like jumps back out and does the fight. And it's like, whatever, it's cool, but it's like, you know what I
Right.
mean? Like, that's so often reserved for the one character. Like, all his supporting characters or supporting actors and actresses don't really get anything to do. So, yeah, it's awesome that she played a character who was like smart, who was funny, who was very charismatic, like on her own, and was just like a fantastic, you know, opposite. And like, if I woke up in a world where the roles were reversed and like, Marion was the main character and Indiana Jones is side character. I feel like it almost still works. She's just that interesting and
Oh,
fun
for
when she's.
sure. She was really, really good. Like at the be I mean, just at the beginning, even after the taking all the shots and then immediately having to fight Nazis, like while she had that buzz, dude. Like, could you imagine having to fight a bar full of Nazis after taking 50 shots or whatever she did? And then, you know, her bar burns down and she's like, "Well, you got what you bargained for. I'm your damn partner." You know, like just having that is like
Man, that was
establishing.
that's just a Friday night at the levee, you know?
Yeah.
You're doing a
Taking
bunch of shots,
shots
fighting a
and
bunch of Nazis? Like, come
yeah,
on.
man. Yeah. Oh man,
Just
it's
kidding.
gone
Don't
now,
sue
man.
me.
That, yeah, it's tangos now, buddy.
Oh my goodness, you're out
I'm
of here.
sure. I can't
Man,
believe it made it
I
as
had
long as it did.
scariest moment of my life in Tangos one time. We were there after, I don't know what we were
Was
there
it the
after, but
Nazis?
no.
Yeah.
I thought it might have been. We were there and the music was off for some reason. That should have been my
Sign
primary
number.
concern. That's yeah, that
Yeah.
should have been like,
They
this is not a
have
good place to
music
be.
on? Yeah, you gotta go.
It just was off, dude. They had like the strobe lights on, but the music was just off. I should have known to get the fu it was weird, but it was free and we were just like hanging out waiting for some people to get back, so we just went there.
Yeah.
Dude turned the music on out of nowhere, but it came on like full blast and the song like the heaviest bass of all time started. I thought that a rocket had just, I thought someone fired an I swear I was like looking in the mirror and I could like see it start to vibrate and, like as the bass kicked in from the song, I just ducked. Like that was just my reaction and like the song
Seriously.
started. And I was like, who said turn it to full volume as soon as you turn it on? It was random, but every time I think about it, every time I think of tangos, I'm like, I thought
That's
someone
hilarious.
was unleashing a
You're like, oh,
predator this
yeah.
square.
You thought Ragnarok was happening? Just the whole bar was just
Honestly,
being
yeah.
torn in half. Yeah,
Like,
seriously.
God damn it.
I thought I was done.
Yeah, no, yes, definitely. It was definitely some young DJ who was like, "Man, the vibes in here are low," or saying some dumb shit like that. And he's like, "I know how to get the crowd going," and
Heavy
turns
bass
up.
on that
But it
full
was in
volume for
German.
no reason.
Just kidding.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
The
it
song
was
was
Du
good. It
Hast he turned
wasn't
on,
in
and everybody was.
German. Yeah. It was not an American song. I don't know if it was German, but you funny enough, you did hit the nail on the head. It was a foreign language song.
Of
All
course.
bass for like the first 45 seconds, loudest shit I've ever heard in my life. The windows are shaking. Pedestrians
If
are
you ever
still.
want to eat a sauerkraut sandwich again, you're gonna
I'm
point
saying
your
again, you'll
Wiener
point out
Schnitzel
that
looking
song.
finger.
Point out that song there on that map.
You ever want to eat a sauerkraut sandwich again?
Stanich. Man, Brad Pitt was incredible in that. But yeah, let me just, I guess we can, this a smooth segue to the Germans and just like, and there really didn't even need to be an explanation. Like, you know, sometimes in movies we get our villains
Yeah.
coming. What is their purpose in this? It's just like, it's the Nazis. And people are like,
No.
okay,
Okay. Cool.
we know
Yeah.
what's up.
Yeah.
We
That's the
okay, we'll be
easiest.
back.
That's the easiest plane to land ever. It's like we need bad people. Nazis.
Oh, I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hitler
You see that
worshippers. It's like, okay,
swastika?
cool. We got it. But like the Nazis played real well. Like I will say honestly, the guy who plays, so his name is Ronald Lacey. He played Tot or Thot. I don't know how to say his name, but he kind of
Probably
reminded
not
me.
thought.
Yeah.
Probably not thought.
It's Tot.
Get on stock.
Yeah. He kind of reminded me of the yeah, it's, yeah, he's a thot. He reminded me of Zola from Captain America, Chris, like the way he did his accent in that. I mean, even like his look a little bit sounded like that. But Cole, we're just talking about the Nazis in this. And like you said, not really needing that. We didn't need to be spoon-fed what was going on.
No,
We just knew that they were
no.
going after an ancient artifact that could give him power, and that's all we needed, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because it, like everything about it, like Nazi lore, it's pretty easy to assign any sort of bullshit to them and it be believable, right? Like it's like, okay, well, yeah, they wanna, of course they wanna find the Ark of the Covenant. That way they can control the world. Like anything that you want to assign to Nazis works. And it's because like obviously they fucking suck. So like yeah, they of course they would want to take the Ark of the Covenant and use it. Like that just makes sense.
That's just it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there's no, yeah, again, like this sometimes we, and you talked about it before several times, like we kind of get spoon-fed the plot or just like this is what's happening. And so we kind of get our hands held throughout the course of it. Like we get the bad guys and it's like Nazis want something powerful. Okay, cool. Go. Like
Yeah,
Indiana,
you're
go
right.
stop them. They invented airdropping. So people drop airdrop us random memes on planes. We're like, fuck.
No, I thought you were about to say W-2s, but yeah, go ahead.
Airdropping your W-2s is crazy. That's terrifying.
Yeah,
Like, I'm like
don't do
in the
that. Don't do
office.
that.
Your boss just airdrops your W-2s. I'm like, is this a fucking game
All
with you?
right, now,
This is
sir,
not
you think
funny.
you want to play this game,
We'll go
fucker?
straight to H. I'm going straight to HR. I'm not
Yeah,
even taking this. Like, he just
shit, I'm
airdropped.
calling the cops. I'm
Yeah.
calling the
They're like,
DA.
don't put my shit on the airwaves like that. Don't do that.
Yeah,
It's scary.
seriously.
Email it to me. It's way safer.
Yeah, way safer that way. Unbelievable.
Just
That would
imagine
be.
like, just, like on your phone and just like so and so wants to share
Wants to
like the phone.
share?
Yeah,
Yeah,
fucking
I don't want to be able to
Jesus
zoom
wore
in on my
W2.
fucking W-2 with my fingers, you know? That's where
Financial
I draw the
record.
line.
Yeah, that's unnatural. That's not how God intended it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just mail it to me like we're in 1981. But what I did like is even though Indiana Jones was the expert of all experts when it came to history, he still needed his friend's help. He needed Brody's help. He needed Sala's help as he's traveling around because, you know, Sala's one of the greatest excavators, diggers in his region. So he, of course, he goes straight to him. So I do like how just like any great leader, any great delegator is going to go to the people who are better at him than some things. Like he's Indiana Jones. He's the archaeologist, but he's not a digger. You know, like I don't know that we would believe every single aspect of it, even though he is. You know, clearly in control and clearly a very well-read and smart guy, we know that he would need his help. Like Chris, with the insertion of Sala and just the help of his friends in general, like I just this is a guy that I'm going to tell you, he's my Mr. Mustang of Sala because he was great. He said, "These are my friends, these are my family. I will hear of it if they're not treated well." Like, you know, I mean, he just let people know from the
And
jump,
serious too.
like don't screw with Indiana. Talk about Sala and just how he helped throughout the course of this movie. I mean, he saved the day several times.
He did, and that's like an awesome character. That's another one of those things I was saying, like you'd need to sell a movie like this, like you'd need to have, like you're saying, these other people who have just maybe more specific talent, or maybe not necessarily like their own super specific talent, but something that they're just better than, you know, Indiana Jones. That like it's cool that he has his very specific set of skills and things that he brings that make his life easier, but he also has all these people that he can rely on and like inclusions of this character make his character even better. But I mean, solid, just even on its own, even without, you know, the way that he boosts the Indiana Jones character, it's just a really fun, interesting character. Like, it's one of those where it's you, he feels so important to you that you like almost get worried that he's going to double cross at some point. Because it's like, this character is so cool, and I'm so attached to him, so comfortable watching him. It's like, of course he's going to like Indiana Jones. I'm actually going to light your balls on fire. And it's like, fuck, I knew he's going to.
I knew it.
Terrible way to go.
He had the ball lighter in his room. I knew it. God. But you know,
it was right there on his dresser.
Trying to light this jungle's nutsack on fire.
But yeah, that character is just awesome. And like I said, he sells it and he makes everything else just way better. And like all the time that he saves the day, like it's, he's just another character. Like if I woke up and somehow things are transfixed, like he was the main character, like, or he led another segment of this, it would just make sense to me. Like, obviously he's got, you know, kind of funny and not necessarily clumsy, but you know, he of course doesn't run the world the same way that Indiana Jones does, but like the way that he comes to save the day, like the way that he kind of steps up when he needs to, he just seems capable of doing it. Like, you know what I mean? He just has things that he's just better at, and it's just enjoyable to watch a character like that interact with somebody who, you know, that's our main character.
Yeah, it feels like whenever, like Inception, when Leo goes to get Tom Hardy or something like that, like he needs his team put together, and I feel like that's the Tom Hardy. Exactly. Like he's the Ames of this particular crew, right? Like he's the guy who is, he's a good excavator, yeah, but he can do a lot of other things too. Like when he helped Indy, when Indy's talking to Belloc in the cafe and he sends all his children, they're like, Uncle Indy, come with us. You know, like,
he saved his ass 5 times.
Oh, dude.
With like brilliant techniques. You know,
he sent his children in. He caught that date that was poisoned. He got him on that boat with, I mean, he just like different things that he could just do. Like he could just make stuff happen, you know? So I feel like
he's like, really Ludacris and Too Fast, Too Furious.
No, he's like Neil in theater camp, man. He's the guy. He's the glue.
Oh, quick question. I can't remember if you mentioned before. You've played Uncharted, right? Or you know about him?
Yeah. I played the first one. Yeah.
The first one. Okay, so like, and I know that Nathan Drake is heavily inspired by Indiana Jones. It's something that Indiana Jones does way better. Is like, again, he has, I mean, the Uncharted series has great supporting characters, but Indy has these supporting characters that surround him that can just do things that he can't. Like in Uncharted, I think sometimes what happens is like Drake can do everything. And
could
I know
do it all.
Take on it, right? So like the way he'd get out of situations, sometimes it'd be by like dumb luck or it'd be by something silly, but sometimes like he would just randomly have the skill to get out of it. Like he'd be able to solve the problem. And it's a video game character. He's cool, right? But there are times I kind of found myself like, I wish he had some kind of limitations. And I love that Indiana Jones is just like, I'm not the best digger, but if it was Uncharted, like, there's like, yeah, I forgot to mention that we grew up digging in the backyard. I got really good at it. It's like, what the fuck? What kind of plant with this sand? So,
one of his best skills was his ability to just charm people to want to help him, right? Like, that's like, that was like one of the best things that Indiana Jones could do.
So, legit, I thought about that too.
Like, his best characteristic was his charisma, legitimately.
Right. And
I'll fight Nazis anyway, but he was
100%.
Like, yeah, I need your help. I'm like, let me put my shoes on.
Yeah, I'll be right there, Indiana Jones. No problem. Let me go find my leather jacket or whatever, man. Like
that's actually a good point there, Chris, about Uncharted, because you think about, is there something that's more iconic to adventure more so than Indiana Jones? Right, like if you think about just like traveling, things like that, at some point when you're like planning a trip, you're gonna think of like something that Indiana Jones would have done, right? Because that's how you think of adventure. And it's amazing that you can make a game based on it that stands the test of time, like Lara Croft, the same thing. Like, just adventure was just something that, you know, before this, of course, like we had Lawrence of Arabia and stuff like that. Of course, there were like major, adventure movies. But this is what you think of, where it's just like, oh, yeah, we're going to go on an adventure today. It's like, all right, Indiana Jones, where are you going? You know, like that's just like, that's just the way it is. And that's awesome.
It's a cultural thing, man. Like we talk about Fast and the Furious, like that's the kind of line. If somebody is adventuring, people aren't like Christopher Columbus or Magellan. It's like, all right, Indy, you know, what are we doing next? Like it's either Indiana Jones or Carmen Sandiego. Like depending if it's a a guy or a girl. Like, that's it. So it's just funny how people go directly to that. Cole, I know we've jokingly said this in a couple of movies and taking out people who are like, if this movie was more modern or whatever. How do you feel about Josh Brolin as Indiana Jones?
Oh, okay. Yeah,
how do you think that plays? Pretty similar?
I think he can do it. I do think that the thing about I think he might, like, there's something about Harrison Ford's physique that I think adds a lot to the character, where, like, Josh Brolin, you wouldn't assume that he could ever lose a fight. And I do feel like Harrison Ford, at least in a couple of times, like, he had to outsmart, whether it was to put somebody into a propeller blade or shoot them or whatever it was. Like, he kind of had to outsmart some people to make it work. Mm-hmm. And Brolin, like, I think could do that, but I don't know that you feel like he would need to, because he's kind of buff. So I think he might need somebody that would be like a little bit,
a little bit more slender.
Yeah, maybe like Gyllenhaal-ish, but you still even need a little bit more charm than Gyllenhaal too, right? Like, well,
so
that, I guess
Glenn Powell is what you're saying. So you're saying Glenn Powell?
Yeah, I'm totally in. Glenn Powell is
that's what he's always saying. Unironically, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, Glenn Powell's too big too, right? Like,
if they greenlit a different thing though, if he wasn't Indiana Jones, like, you're gonna be
oh, for sure,
adventure. Yeah.
Gwen Powell should have been Nathan Drake. Yeah.
Honestly, we're laughing, but
yeah, he would have been good one. I like Tom Holland, but yeah.
But what about Scott Eastwood?
Oh, Scott. Hell. Yeah, I think Scott Eastwood. I don't know if he's got the frame. Yeah, he definitely, yeah, he could do it for sure. Scott Eastwood's a good choice. Yeah, it almost needs to be somebody like that, like a younger Brad Pitt. Would have probably been good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody with that kind of physique. Yeah. I do like Brolin. Brolin, I like, because I think it'd be a very different. I don't think the, like, funny charm would work as well. I think it would be like a very realistic type Indiana Jones role. But, like, I'm in on that. Like, that actually sounds kind of dope.
I think it'd be really.
Like, he just play his guy from Sicario as an archaeologist. Like, let's go.
Got his flip flops on.
Yeah,
he was in a national security meeting with flip flops on. That's the funniest guy that's ever been put in a movie, I think.
Yeah.
So you're saying Josh Brolin and Denis Villeneuve are the new Indiana Jones? I'm in.
Done.
Fuck it. I'm the day one. I'm the day zero.
Let's do it.
Yeah, man, that's hard. Like, I don't know that anybody else could do it.
That's the thing. It's like, there aren't. I just can't think of a ton of names. And of course, I named three right there. But, like, even then, there's something about him, and I think that's what's just so unique about Harrison Ford. And he just makes him cool, like you said, makes him the unicorn of actor. Just because there's a lot of things that he has to do or not do as Indiana Jones, and he's believable doing all of it too, because he is charming, and he's just. I mean, he looks like a professor. Like, there's professors that we've seen to be in good shape, but he doesn't look like, oh, this guy's going to win a CrossFit competition, or, oh, he's going to be a bodybuilder or whatever.
Right.
So
right.
I think that he has to toe a lot of lines, and he does it really well.
Actually, sadly enough, it might have been River Phoenix who actually played a young Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade and then passed in the 90s. But, like, he had the pretty much raw, like, everything about what you would think Indiana Jones would be like. So,
yeah,
I guess that's not modern enough, but maybe Austin Butler. Austin Butler could probably do it.
Yeah, I could see it.
He's got the chops, and he's got kind of the rugged. Yeah.
Let's make it happen. Let's make a call. I'll send out some emails after this, and we'll get the ball rolling on it for sure.
Yeah,
we'll get it made for $18 million.
Spielberg's still around, maybe. You know.
He'll do it.
Yeah, him and Lucas would be
Austin Butler so bad he just can't say it out loud. But I could. That's just somebody who, like, I know Spielberg. Like, if I can just get him in a movie, I could do some stuff. Randomly see that, and you just see, like, an actor, and you're just like, I know this director wants to just grab him and put him in a movie so bad.
Yeah.
Just make it happen, man. Just tell him it's an $18 million movie, and it's going to make $2 billion.
Yeah.
See how they react. I think people react favorably every single time. I don't know. I could be wrong though, but I mean, I've said it several times, but this is an absolute classic. Like, this is top.
Perfect movie.
I mean, I don't.
This is a Fender Rhodes moment.
This is. I mean, but it is just an incredible piece of film. And again, like, having not watched it in a while, I've watched it, like, legitimately since you picked it, I've watched it 3 times, and I'm not even exaggerating. Yep. Like,
this I watched movie it twice. Yeah,
it's awesome. It's so good. Like, I truly think I just forgot how charming. Like, there's something about Harrison Ford in this that I just forgot about, and it's like the ruggedness of him, and like in certain scenes, like he does finesse when he needs to, but then whenever he just like move, like he moves people. You know what I mean? It's not even like in a fight. Like, yeah, he just picks up and moves Marion, or like he moves Cepedo, or like the people that he just needs to be out of the way, he just moves them out of the way. Like, there's no, he's ruled like forward like that, where he takes command in a certain situation. And so, again, towing that line between
the confidence, man. Yeah, it's his, Harrison Ford's confidence is unmatched. Yeah,
like the scene, and it's crazy, and this is so simple, but like right after he got back after Belloc, like he lost that artifact to Belloc, and he's back in the real world, and he's teaching, and he's got the glasses on, and it's like a completely different person. He's in that room, different, and like all the girls are like just, you know, giving him the starry eyes. I'm like, shit, I believe it. Like, I get it.
Yeah, I'm doing the same thing.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I'll be sitting over there, just like, he called me. He's like, yeah, so what was the, you know, what were the first pyramids built, Mr. Evans? And I'm just like, what'd you say, Dr. Jones? You know what I mean? Like, I know what he's saying. Oh, they're in Natchez, right? Like, I have no idea what he would ask me, man. But it's just, it's incredible. Just an incredible piece of acting. I think that just to see him be both of those parts. I mean, like, that scene, like I said, is so innocuous, and it's really more about Brody just coming to tell him that there are some guys coming to hire him. But it just shows like that, just the juxtaposition between him going, being on that mission and like running from Aborigines, and then he's like back in the classroom teaching. he's teaching, you know, 24 hours later or whatever it is.
Right.
I thought it was just great, Chris. Like, seeing those particular parts, like, we just,
dude, he got shot.
he's doing the things. Yeah. He's doing the thing we like, man. He's acting right.
Just
yeah, he's just cooking. He is able to, and he sells both of those types of things like so well. Again, it's one of those. It's like, I'd never seen him in the professor getup. I just, like, you know, I'd known that he was one. Again, that's just part of the lore that I know. So the first time that I actually see him in it, it's just like, yeah, this guy looks exactly like the professor. Like, how is he able
literally
to right into this? It's funny because it's a weird thing to compare to, like, in Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning, you know, when he's going to get Grace out of jail and he shows up, he's pretending to be the Lord. He has the glasses and the book in his hand or whatever.
Yes,
and it's like,
yes,
he's pretending to be that. Like, it's, he just looks so much like a guy who wouldn't do that. Right. Like, so it's like, it's funny seeing Tom Cruise with the little glasses, like he's Dave Bautista pulled down, holding the book. And it's just like, if I were the police, I'd arrest you. Cause I'd be like, you're not a fucking lawyer. You can't trick me.
You're not tricking me.
You're Ethan Hunt. I don't even know who that is.
I know exactly who you are. Right. Yeah.
When he, you know, when it goes from him being in the plane after, again, running away from the Aborigines, and the next thing you know, he's just like in class and he's like, Neo, meaning new. And it like pans out. I'm like, this is my fucking professor. I had this guy before.
Like, that's my advisor. I know exactly who this guy is.
I know you from Econ.
Econ. So,
what's up?
You're in my econ class.
That's so funny.
The kid was 11.
He did look like he was 30.
You look like you're in college. What's up, man? I remember you from econ. God, that's so funny, dude. I don't think that's streaming anymore. I may have to go. I bet I can find that in the $5 bin, man. And I would grab that out of the $5 bin. I would just put a 20 in there and just leave. I wouldn't even, I don't even need any change. Y'all keep all of this.
I'm doing the right thing.
But yeah, no, you're right. He 100%. He looks like a professor, but he also looks like Indiana Jones. And it's just like, all he needed was like a little bit of stubble, and he transformed, and it's crazy too, because it's like, you know, with Clark Kent and Superman, I'm like, dude, it's the same. He has the same chiseled jaw. He just has on some fucking glasses. Like, clearly that's the same guy. But with this, it looks like two completely different people. Like, his look is totally changed. Like, he's got the hat and everything going, dude. And it's just crazy. And both are very viable, very believable. And I think that's just the magic of Harrison Ford, man. I just don't know that. I mean, while we have named a couple of actors, like, we found some flaws in all of them. We thought that they all would look good in this particular part, but they wouldn't look good here. Like, he does it all. And I think that's why it's just so great. But mean, we could legit sell though.
Like to just make certain people, especially that big, just look like a regular guy. You know what I mean? Yep. Like just look like Tom Cruise. Like it just, I guess he had some previous roles where it kind of sold, like, but he's just, and it maybe has something to do with them being so big and we see them all the time. But, you know, like to reference in Oppenheimer, Josh Hartnett, he kind of plays a professor. And like when I, you know, when you hear about him being cast, you're wondering who he's going to play. But when he shows up as a guy who's just like teaching next door, I'm like, how is Josh Hartnett? This is Josh Hartnett I'm looking at, but he is selling this just being a regular, you know, physics dude. Professor, and he's he looks more. That's my physics professor, actually. So it's just like that's also another super tough thing that just makes me kind of marvel at what Harrison Ford is able to do again, especially after I've only ever seen him as these super huge, larger than life characters. To see him just be like, there's a test next Monday. And I'm like, that's exactly what he should be saying. Because it's weird. I'm like rambling about this point. I think you guys know what I mean. That's just another thing that just like kind of blows my mind about this movie and what this guy was able to do. I'm like, it's just a small thing. It's a thing that he does for 5 minutes. But it just does so much heavy lifting to sell the character and his performance as a character. It's crazy.
It's easy, man. Easy money for him. Like, I don't know that
Josh Brolin do that? Could he be a professor? I don't think he'd be too big, right? We'd be like, my professor's kind of yoked. What the fuck's going on?
Yeah. Why is my professor lifting all the time?
Yeah, seriously. It's like, you get puberty twice? Yeah. It's an incredible physique you got there, young man.
Exceptional muscle tone.
But we'll move to the categories because, like I said, we could legitimately talk about this movie as we, and rightfully so, all night because it's just an incredible piece of cinema. Like, it's so good. And Chris,
it's perfection, man. We've done a lot of movies that are close, but I think this might, I don't know if it's the only one, but it's perfection.
It's up there. There aren't, if we've done others, there aren't many. There may be one other, you know, like this is this movie.
Skyfall's perfection. So,
Skyfall is great. I was going to say The Dark Knight, but even then we could find, you know, there's going to be something. Yeah. So, you know, having a movie like this, we're just going to be like, yep, this is the one. This is it.
Like, I'm going to start saying that. I'm going to start saying, this is Raiders of the Lost Ark good. I wouldn't be able to say it a lot, but like, if I give something five stars on Letterboxd, people would know. Like, this is Raiders. They'll know exactly what I mean.
People be like, oh, yeah, I'm with it.
That's good. Yeah.
Like, but seriously though, like saying if you just said that line, people would know exactly what you meant. You wouldn't need to explain, you know. And that's the brilliance of this because there's like, oh yeah, how good? Like on a scale of Freddy Got Fingered to Raiders of the Lost Ark, how good is this?
Hold
movie
on now, Freddy Got Fingered is in the Criterion Collection now. Be nice.
Criterion Collection 2 weeks ago. Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, but that's the scale. That's my new scale. Freddy Got Fingered to Raiders of the Lost Ark. I'm like,
somewhere in between that.
What's in between that? Philadelphia?
You would just be like, run, it's George Washington. That's what you would say.
I'm going to go shake his hand.
I'm going to go shake his hand. But yeah, people would know exactly what you're talking about when you say they describe a movie like, how was the new Dune? How do you feel about that? It's like, oh, it's definitely on par with Raiders of the Lost Ark. You know what I mean? Like that's how we're going to say it from now on. So just let people know what the deal is.
I saw some dude on Letterboxd give Dune 2 a 2.5. I was like, man, you just want some
attention.
Yeah. He just needed some views, some click throughs.
Yeah. Fuck that. That's wild. Yeah.
You know, tell them to eat shit. Like, who? Yeah, anyway.
That's all your comment. Eat shit.
Yeah, just send them a DM and just like, it's just a picture of a turd. Just put like, rate that.
Rate that.
It's just 2 stars.
Yeah.
Rate that.
Just drop it on his desk like Jason Bateman in Bad Words.
Yeah.
All right, so laugh out loud. I'll say I did have two. So the scene where Indy shot the guy who had the sword, that was supposed to be an epic fight.
It's got to be it. Yeah.
Iconic, right? It's hilarious, and Harrison Ford was supposed to fight him, but he was too sick because everybody had food poisoning, with the exception of Spielberg, because he took a bunch of SpaghettiOs to Cairo so he didn't get sick.
This is made up. That's made up.
Look it up.
You're bullshitting me. Skitty eyes weren't even around 1981, Keith.
Okay.
Just kidding.
All right.
Holy fuck, that's hilarious.
That's the greatest. That is wild. So he just loaded up like crates.
A bunch
full
of SpaghettiOs.
He's like, let's leave a camera behind so I can take my SpaghettiOs.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. The bag is overweight. What do you want to take out? He's like, you want to take out some of these SpaghettiOs? He's like, no, take out my underwear, man. He's like, I figured out.
He's like, we'll get rid of the key grip.
Take out some of these shoes.
You don't need to punch anybody or anything. I don't need them.
Like Charlie Murphy said, there's a lot of great storytellers around. He's like, who the fuck make up some shit like that?
That is true. He's got a good
who
point.
Who the fuck make up? Yeah. Like, definitely no one's going to be like, yeah, I just took a bunch of SpaghettiOs with me and bullshit.
Yeah, like, who's going to admit to that, right? Like,
yeah,
you know, I mean,
exactly.
That's some information you'd have to get out of me after waterboarding me for a couple hours. I'd be like, fine. I took the SpaghettiOs to Cairo. Fine.
That's how I didn't get sick. Cocaine and SpaghettiOs.
Damn. Get off my case. And call you. Yeah. That was the one, that first one. But then the scene where Tot grabbed the medallion and it was hot and he like ran to the snow. It reminded me of Home Alone. And I just like laughed so hard.
His face did look Home Alone-esque.
Dude, his face was it was hilarious. And like the yell that he let out, man, it was hilarious. So
Tom and Jerry scream, dude. He was suffering.
And it was burned into his hand the rest of the movie. So anyway, those
that
my two
so
left.
Fucking gross.
Yeah.
That's a part of the movie. That shit grossed me the fuck out when he did the Heil Hitler and I saw the imprint
the
on his hand.
Medallion.
Ruined my whole fucking day. That was so disgusting.
It was gross, man.
Like, they did him a favor by melting his fucking face off.
Seriously. The match's hand?
Yeah.
All right, Cole, what had you laughing?
It's got to be shooting the sword guy. That's just so funny because it works perfectly in the moment, and it's even better knowing the story behind it and everything like that because, like, you know, in the script, there was no way it was going to be like, yeah, just shoot him. But it works so perfect, and it's so funny because that dude is like getting after it for like 45 seconds before Andy just shoots him. So it's pretty great. Yeah.
Apparently, in the trivia, it said after several failed attempts to actually shoot the original scene, Harrison suggested, quote, let's just shoot the sucker. And this, they did it.
All right. There we go.
All right, Chris, what had you laughing?
Same thing. I'm not going to lie. This is my laugh out loud before I watch the movie. Like, this is, again, one of those that I've just seen a trillion times, and it's always been funny. And I didn't know that he was sick. I thought they'd, like, just done a bunch of takes with the fight, and he was just tired. So he was not trying to be funny or whatever, but, like, just improvising something a little silly, and they rolled with it. So it's even better knowing that he had food. He did look a little sluggish then. Again, I just thought that he was – of course, Indy was tired of the scene, but I thought Harrison Ford, you know, they just done the actual fight 50 times and it wasn't working. He was just kind of over it. So that's my last one. That's an all-timer, man. That's just genuinely one of, like, the funniest moments in, like, all of movie history. Like, it's just a perfect little goofy thing.
Bro, like I said, Cole was, like he said, just going after it, like, doing all his sword thing. And what's even funnier, the crowd are just, like, standing out there watching, too. And just, you know, like, he just shoots the gun around all these people. Like, glad
he just fires a gun into a crowd of 40.
Yeah.
When he turns and he's, like, looking around, like, again, he just does so much that sells him as just this regular guy that just so happens to know a lot about history and can jump really far. So, like, after he shoots him, he, like, turns around, he's, like, squinting, blocking out the sun, and just, like, looking around, just, like, a guy who just walked out of the mall trying to find his car. It makes it even like he blasts this guy.
There it is.
He just goes right into being like, now where the fuck am I going?
Where's my Mazda?
Fuck, I'm out of key range.
Hate it when that happens.
The worst.
I just be ready to give up. I'm like, I don't even, it's not worth it.
And just wait. I just Uber out of here and just come back in the morning when everybody's gone.
Yeah.
Back in the middle of the night.
Yeah. All right, Mustang, I talked about it, but Sala has saved Indiana Jones several different times. The poison dates and his children to the cafe. He was just great, man. He was just an awesome resource to have. I think having somebody like that in his corner is just as valuable as Indiana Jones himself. So I really like Sala. Cole, who'd you have, Mr. Mustang?
I'm going to go with Alfred Molina.
Yes, sir.
Just because, like, that obviously an iconic scene. There aren't a lot of people in it, and you know, obviously he becomes a very, very famous actor after, of course. But being able to hold his own against Harrison Ford and just kind of still be funny and you know, play the part perfectly. So I'm gonna go with Alfred Molina.
And then getting stabbed with a bunch of spikes too.
Yeah, it's a tough way to go. Yeah.
Yep. Chris, Mr. Mustang.
Same as Cole, Alfred Molina, for basically all the same reason. You hit the nail on the head, right? He just goes on to be super huge after this. He's great in this scene, and this scene that is already just kind of perfect, one of the most iconic things. And like, he's maybe sometimes a forgotten part of it, but when you watch and you see him in it, it's just like he didn't have an easy task. I mean, they're introducing who's going to become one of the most popular characters in film of all time, and Alfred Molina's in that scene, you know, carrying his own weight. Like, he's not just there standing in his shadow, just kind of benefiting from being off to the side. Like, he's really doing something there. And he's funny, and he sells that character the way that he should, and he's just awesome.
Yeah, he was really good, man. And he ended up being a scumbag, and then he got, like, immediately got what he deserved. He completely forgot about the guy on the spikes that he just saw 7 minutes earlier. They just ran through the light. It'd be like that, man. All right, so for the Diesel, I went with Belloc, man. He just, every time Indiana made a great discovery or went through all the perils of doing, went through the cave, and he had the sand, and he jumped over the pit, and he went through all the spikes and the arrows, and he comes out, he just takes the artifact. And then, of course, the tomb and finding the Ark and all that stuff. So Belloc was just scum, man. He sucked. Cole, Diesel.
I'm going Nazis.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
just in general.
Greedy Germans is what I had as on there, but I went with Belloc instead. Yeah, it's usually a good one.
Yeah, it's hard to beat.
Yep, Chris,
Belloc, man, I couldn't have been Indiana Jones because it's like they'd had a longer history of this thing happen. I would have shot Belloc 4 years prior, probably, man. Like, just to get through with that, he's just always there stealing your, I mean, I know, I guess there are times where he's putting stuff in the museum, but for Indy, just the moments that we see in this, he goes through all of this crazy treacherous stuff, and then for that guy to just show up and be like, hand it over, and you know, he's either got 1,000 people with guns or 1,000 people with bows and arrows and tranquilizers, you know, primitive tranquilizer darts pointed at you, and he takes it, that guy sucks, he ruins everything.
I'm so glad he's staying. If Belloc was your adversary, if you entered Indiana Jones, the police would find bloody gloves in your house.
Yeah, my house, yeah. You probably have bloody gloves. My house.
My house. We would have made real orange juice out of him.
Yeah, no, I would have had to fuck Belloc up. I don't know. Like, I would have had to just take a risk. Like, all these people might shoot me, but maybe they won't. I don't know.
That was a really dope line that he had in there. And he was like, the scene about going to see God, he's like, let's go together right now before
we go see him together.
Yeah, that shit was dope. I was like, oh, damn, he's ready to go out like in a blaze of glory. All right, so if Rince Due, we've only talked about him for like 3/4 of the pod, but just air Harrison Ford for obvious reasons. So that's what I went with. Go, Rince Due.
I think I'm going to go with Spielberg. Yeah. I think, it's probably his best work. It's hard to say. I mean, like, Jaws obviously is great, but this is definitely this is perfection. So good work, Spielberg.
Yeah, he should look into doing more movies.
Yeah,
Chris, Rince Due.
I went with Harrison Ford. You know, again, it was just blowing my mind to actually go back and finally see this and see the work that he puts in to make this character what it is. Obviously, again, there was a good foundation laid. He gets to do some cool stuff. There are a lot of cool scenes that. This, again, I don't want to make it sound like this is something that I think anybody could just do, but it's like if the right person comes in and executes, this was always going to be a super popular, super endearing, timeless kind of character. Yep. But, you know, that's not as easy of a task as you make it out to. Like, yeah, Indiana Jones gets a lot of cool moments, and there's a lot of cool stuff that happens in this movie, but you still need the right guy to just kind of bring some of the intangibles, some of the charisma, just some of the charm that this character has. And again, like you said, one of his greatest strengths is he just makes you want to help him, right? And it's like, it'd be easy to cast a guy who maybe looks better equipped for some of the stunts, or he seems more like somebody who has the build to be an adventurer, but it's just like, I don't think he could, you know, he didn't have the magnetic personality to get people want to just be on his side, and Harrison Ford had everything that he needed. So actually seeing this character like within the context of a full movie and not just a clip of one of the coolest things of all time really blew me away.
No, it was awesome, man. It's really cool. And yeah, seeing it for the first, I'm still like, I'm going to be thinking about that the rest of the week, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Yeah.
All right, best scene. So I went with the opening scene. I think that's one of the most iconic scenes in movie history. It was from the beginning. I mean, them just getting there, just seeing like the shadow, the silhouette of Indiana Jones, seeing his back for the majority of the beginning of it, until he uses his whip to take the gun away from that one guy who's going to shoot him. So, and then of course him going through the cave and then coming back out, running from the boulder. Everything incredible, just incredible movie making, top notch stuff. Cole, best scene.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the beginning, the escape. Just kind of sets the groundwork how great the movie's going to be. You also run the risk of peaking too early, and that didn't happen with this movie. Like, it just kept getting better and better, even though I am saying this is the best scene of the movie. It just, like, it's iconic, man, that you can't think of any sort of adventure movie or even, like, probably any movie period and not think about that. So,
great.
Yeah. I like the escape. It's good shit.
Awesome, man. Chris, best scene.
Clean sweep, man. I went with that. It's iconic. It's timeless. It's
incredible.
One of the best things I've ever seen. And it's just like watching how much of it is done practically, again, not at all here to shit on just the way that we make movies now, or the way that some people do, but it's just like to see all this and know that all this stuff is either built or they're actually on location doing this makes it even cooler. I mean, again, you said he was like actually running from the boulder, which I figured, you know, they didn't have the technology to fake that back then. But I mean, for something like that to be so organic, to come together and be as perfect as it was. And even though they used a take of him slipping and falling, it still seemed so seamless and flawless and perfect and create that fantastic of a scene. Like, that's all. Awesome. That's just one of like the greatest. That's just one of the greatest scenes to ever be filmed there. Like, it's so cool. So many action movies don't realize it, but they're chasing something as cool and as simple as that, and unfortunately no one's caught it yet, which is fine. It's impossible to catch. You just might not ever do it, and that's okay. But yeah, I have to go with that, man. It blew my mind actually being able to see the full thing. And again,
it's fine.
Great job of framing Indiana Jones and building him up and giving us a sense of who we're about to watch with. Like you said, all the shots of him just from behind, and like you don't really see his face, you just kind of see a lot of silhouette work. I thought that was super cool. Like, that was another moment of me just getting revved up to see him, like not hearing him talk, not seeing him do anything, just like knowing who I'm looking at. But it's just the back of his hat, it's just the back of your shirt, that iconic look with the vest. And then when he actually starts doing stuff, you know, I think like a lot of my picks in this are guided by this being my first time watching it, but I think that makes it like an even purer kind of thing.
No, it's a better,
Yeah, that really drove it home for me, that idea of like, again, I've seen him before in stuff. I've just never actually seen him in the movie. So it's like this weird anticipation that I was getting for like, when is he actually going to start doing some Indiana Jones stuff? He's just kind of walking around and I'm just seeing the back of him. Man, it got me super hyped. So
the payoff was immediate and it was incredible, dude. Like, I mean, just great. Again, great piece of movie making.
Yep.
All right, Cole, awards, what you got?
Yeah, so nominated for Best Picture, Best Director, Best Cinematography, Best Original Score, and it won for Art Direction, Sound, Editing, and Visual Effects. So, yeah, pretty much everything.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think that's a good movie. I think those are the makings of an all right.
Turns movie. Out, that's not bad for business.
Yeah, they might let you make another one. You won't go into director's jail if you do one of those.
No, sir. No, sir.
Yeah. Good times. Trivia, I sprinkled some of mine in. Did you guys see anything else?
Yeah, the Well of Souls apparently required 7,000 snakes.
Yes. Jesus Christ. No thanks.
7,000 real snakes. Where do they even find that many snakes, man?
That's all the snakes in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a snake.
They and put then out had an one ad extra. On Craigslist? Like, what do you...
Yeah. Then had one extra snake for the plane, too. Like, no, I'm good. So 7,001 snakes. No, thanks. That's 7,001 too many.
Those are union snakes?
Oh, they're definitely unionized.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
After they got set on fire, they were like, we deserve better pay.
Yeah. They're like, stop halfway through filming. Like, smoke break.
Just have to put down a bunch of rubber snakes from Toys R Us.
Like, call the Teamsters, bitch.
Some gag. Just had to put down a bunch of only like four snakes stayed on the set. They had to put down a bunch of licorice for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Scab snakes left.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. The key grip had to make the sound for the rest of the snakes. It had
he
to
just
the
lay down and slithered.
Yeah. He was a stand-in for the snakes. Key grip. He couldn't even punch people. He was mad as shit. He was like, I'm supposed to be here to punch people. I'm down here on this ground. Like
I'm on the ground acting like a snake.
Yeah.
Fucking punch.
This is bullshit. Don't
punch people.
Then the movie Anaconda came out and he wanted to do it, but they were like, no, man, we got this animatronic thing now, man. We don't
need you motherfucker.
We don't need you.
He should have joined the union, is all I'm saying.
That's it, man. Easy solution. All right, so we can find Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark on Paramount and Disney Plus. Great movie, 1981. But next, we are going to Amazon Prime to watch the newest edition or the newest Roadhouse. 2024, Jake Gyllenhaal, Conor McGregor, going to be a banger. So,
yeah, I'm so fucking hyped about this one.
Yeah, everybody get ready. This is going to be unhinged. I already know it.
Yep. We's going to have a good time.
Yeah. We got to take
PEDs. We haven't even seen it. We don't even know. Yeah,
we got to take PEDs first before we do this pod. So it's going to be hype.
Yeah. I'm hyped.
Hope everybody's ready. It's going to be sick.
Who would have thought we'd be talking about Conor McGregor in a movie? If we would have started this pod, I'm like, yeah, in 3 years, we'll talk about a movie with Conor McGregor. And we'd be like, no, but seriously, how's it going to go? Like,
yeah. Yeah, like, yeah. What movie? Yeah.
There's a guy in this movie named Catfish Gene. That's his real name. He plays a guy.
Oh, that's his real name?
Yeah, he plays a guy named Clyde. His name is Catfish Gene.
Catfish Gene is a real person? Fuck yeah, dude. That's way better than Gene.
Way better.
Wade. Yeah.
Yeah, Catfish Gene. Apparently his cousin Hush Puppy Jones is in this movie too.
Hell yeah.
You're ready for it.
Cornbread Muffin Carl.
Smith, yeah. Jalapeno Cornbread Miller is in this movie.
Yeah. That's I'm ready me, for actually. It. Yeah.
What's your stage name?
Yeah. That sounds like the name of an actor. Jalapeno Cornbread Miller doesn't make any goddamn sense.
Goddamn sense. Jalapeno Cornbread.
All right, so everybody knows what to do. First, Indiana Jones, Disney Plus, or Paramount, and then we're going to Amazon Prime for the newest Roadhouse. But for all of us here at the Stream Team, Keith Evans, Camilla, Chris Lowry, snakes. Why there have to be snakes?